Praise the Lord. You know, a few months ago, and Eli's back here, but they allowed me the privilege and my wife to go down and see him. And we walked back there to see him, to see little Eli. And whenever we walked back, I mean, he was 1 pound and I think 12 ounces at the time. That's what he was. And we walked back and his little eyes were open. And it just broke my heart. And Ken kept saying this. He said, one day, that he would come up here and he'd put his money in for pennies for Jesus. And we're still praying for that. We're still going to believe for that. Because you know what? I still believe God answers prayers. I believe that this morning with all my heart, that God still answers prayers. If he doesn't, we have no business being in this church this morning. Because we serve a prayer-answering God this morning. He's that kind of a God. I thank him for all, for Sophie's test, for everything that God does. I tell you what, I'm looking at a bunch of miracles right here this morning. Because if you're studying here this morning and you were born again, that is the biggest miracle that has ever happened in your life. And whether you know it or not, you need to be standing and giving him the praise with everything that you got in your heart. Can we give him a hand clap of praise this morning? Praise him this morning for what he does for each and every one of us. I am so thankful this morning for that. I'm telling you, Ron said in his prayer that, you know what, may the preacher bring the bread of life. Can I tell you something? I can preach the bread of life to you, but unless you eat it, it will not do nothing for you. Not a thing. So if the bread of life goes out to you this morning and it hits you where you live this morning, eat it in. Take it in. Listen to what God has for you this morning. I'm going to be over in Mark chapter 8 if you want to turn there this morning. Mark chapter 8. I'm going to read from 22 down to 26. The verses 22 to 26. Very familiar scripture. Mark 8, beginning with verse 22. When you get there, if you can this morning, please stand in honor of God's word. And let's read it together this morning. Very familiar scripture. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, and asked him if he saw aught, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. Now, I want you to look at this before we pray. And remember this. We serve a God that can do anything that he wants to do. Amen. He chose to do it this way. And there's a reason why he did that. And you know what? He told him to get out of the town. Did he not? I'm going to talk to you this morning. There's times every one of us need to get out of the town. And we need to get out of the way so God can work. Amen? Amen? Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I just want to come with thanksgiving in my heart. Lord, I want to thank you for the service so far this morning, Lord. I thank you for your love and for your mercy upon each and every one of us. I thank you, Father, for the testimony. I thank you, Father, for all that's done, for the singing, Lord, that's been done here this morning. I just ask you, Lord, now, Father, that you would anoint my lips, Lord. I pray that you would open up the hearts of each and every one of them here, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would do that, Father, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. You may be seated and thank you. Thank you. We must understand a little bit of what's going on here, the history that's going on here. A lot of Bible scholars that I've read tell me We're talking about the area of Galilee right here where this, where Bethsaida is located. A lot of Bible scholars tell me this. You know that 70 to 80% of the miracles that Jesus performed were done right here in this area. Right here in this area of Galilee, right around this area right here. What Christ is telling them is this. You've seen miracle after miracle. You've seen things done. You've heard me speak. You've heard the word preach. You've seen the things that I have done. You've seen it all. And you know what? You've been a witness to all of it. But guess what? You didn't repent of any of it. You didn't repent. Can I tell you this morning, the brother said, listen, you can sit in this church, you can sit here this morning, and you can listen to the word of God. You can feel the Holy Spirit touching you. You can hear it, you be under conviction this morning. But if you know what, if you don't repent and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, it'll never do you any good. Another, Jesus tells them in these verses, he said, over in Matthew 10, 11, 20, and 22, this is a companion verse, and I want to read it, and he said, and he tells us, then began he to upbraid or denounce the cities wherein most of the mighty works were done, because they repented not. And woe unto thee, Sharon, and woe unto thee, all those that don't take up. He even goes on down through there, and he talks about three other cities. And they were all located, Bethsaida, and also some other ones that were not located in that area. And I'm telling you, they had seen a lot of mighty works. But with those mighty works, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, they did not repent. And he tells them, woe unto thee. You know how that's translated out? He's telling them, doom unto you. What's doom mean? It means death. It means destruction. He put a curse upon them because they wouldn't repent. Folks, when people stop seeking God, death will come. When people stop believing, death will come. When people stop responding to what the Lord is doing for them, death will come. When they stop responding to the Holy Spirit, death will come. Whether we know it or not, it will. Death will always come. So this town, Bethsaida, is a dying situation. It brings us to today's word, and this is what he's trying to tell. Have we recently seen what has happened to a denomination that was once powerful, to a denomination that once served God? We've seen where death has come. We look around and we see this nation where, brothers and sisters, listen to me. They stopped listening to what God has for us. We stopped responding to the power of God in our life. And I'm telling you, if we keep going down that path, death will come. Death will come. We have seen that. Just like Bethsaida. Woe unto thee. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works were done in you that have been done in Tyre and Sodom, they would have repented a long time ago in sackcloth and ashes. Folks, what it boils down to, and what it boils down to all of us here today is, bro, if we lack a repentant heart sometimes. Now you're sitting back there today, and I've already said, listen, I don't know your hearts. I don't know where you stand here this morning. But can I tell you this? You know what? To come to know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to have to come with a repentant heart. You're going to have to come with a repentant heart. Listen, in Acts 7:51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers do, so do ye. Resistance. People hear the word. They hear the testimonies. They hear the Holy Spirit convicts them. They see God working. Yet, but they reject it. And Jesus is saying, woe unto you. Woe unto you. So in Mark chapter 8, we see Jesus going through Bethsaida, which he had cursed earlier. And he says this to him. And he says, get thee that they bring a blind man to him. And instead of healing him in the spot where he hit him, you know what he tells him? Ron, he tells him, let's take him out of the city. Let's get him out of here. Listen, that is sad. Is that not sad to you? That brother, that he couldn't even heal in that place? That he couldn't even do a mighty work of God in that place? He took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of the city. Why? Because he had cursed that city a long time ago before because of their unrepentance. He wasn't going to do any more public ministry in Galilee. That's what he's saying. He said there was no more public miracles done in that part of the country. If you look from that time on, especially if you go to Mark, the very next verse is where Peter says, declares in him, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And he, from that point on, he tries to talk to his disciples and prepare them for his death and prepare them for the ministry that they're going to do. Oh, there's a couple other miracles done, but from that part of the country right there, there's no more miracles done because they had rejected him. If you back up to Mark 8:12, it says this, and he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doeth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall be no more signs be given unto this generation, to this people, the people of Galilee. No more signs were to be given. In other words, Jesus said, I'm done. I'm done trying to convince. I want you to understand something here this morning. You can go to the point where you keep rejecting Jesus Christ and the call of Jesus Christ where he will not deal with you anymore. He won't. You say, Dave, you say, preacher, Jesus, I'm telling you, you can get to the point where you keep rejecting the wooing of the Holy Spirit, keep rejecting the knock on the door, and I'm here to tell you, he will not knock anymore. He won't call anymore. He won't try to come anymore. I tell you the story about a preacher that I heard here a while back. And he talked about a gentleman that went to revivals back years ago. Calvin Evans was talking about it. He went to revivals years ago. And he said the gentleman sat in the seat. And he heard the preaching. And he would not come. And after he said you could see him shaking and he would not come. He said years later, 20 years later, whatever it was, he said he went to revival at that same church. There was that same man had come. He said after church, he went up to him and he told him, Calvin, he said, years ago, I rejected the call. And I've been going to revivals. I've been going to church. I've been going all these years praying that God would convict me again. And he said, the Spirit never did convict him again. Why is that important? Because I'm here to tell you this morning, without the drawing of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. Unless you are drawn by the Holy Spirit, unless you are drawn to this altar, you cannot be saved. You cannot do it on your own. It's not by works. You cannot do it by just baptism. You've got to do it whenever God is dealing with your heart to do it. In Luke 19, Jesus went in, Luke 19:10 tells us, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful this morning? He found you amongst this cursed world. And you accepted it? I'm here this morning to tell you, I am thankful that in this cursed world, just like Bethsaida was cursed, that you know what? Jesus come through and a blind man got saved. I'm telling you, he drew me out of a cursed world one day. And if you're here this morning, I know I have been preaching a lot about the drawing of the Holy Spirit lately. I've been dealing a lot with talking to those that are lost here this morning. And you know, you say, well, Dave, you may be preaching to the choir. That may be true. But can I tell you something? Sometimes there's some of those in the choir that need to know the Lord as well. Amen. Aren't you thankful he found you? Open your blinded eyes so you could clearly see. I was blind one day. I'm going to talk about myself a little bit. I got saved many years ago, but I'm telling you, I was blind as a bat, the proverbial bat, as they could say, when it comes to spiritual things one time. I heard the word of God. I had aunts and uncles tell me that, you know what, I needed to be saved. But until my sister died, until I had another aunt and uncle come in a bus route and come and ask me, Dave, you need to be in church. I didn't want anything to do with it before then. But whenever my sister died, she was 11 years old. And I'm telling you, it shook me to the core. God knew what he was doing. I got on my knees in Mannington, West Virginia, and I'm here to tell you, God saved me to the uttermost. He saved me. I knew I was saved. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You know if you're saved here this morning. You know something back here in those pews today. You know exactly where you stand with God. You can be fooling me. You could be fooling your family. You could be fooling your husband. You could be fooling your wife. You can be fooling anybody. But you know where you stand with you and your God this morning. You know, as that song says, they sung, it's the heartbeat of Jesus, the heartbeat of the Spirit is beating in your chest this morning. You know that. And I'm here to tell you this morning, without Jesus in your life, if you die and go out of this world, I don't care if you come to church 15 times a week, you're going to be lost without the Spirit of God in your heart. You've got to be born again. No matter. Wanting to, now, Jesus can bring you out. But you've got to understand, He can lead you like He did that man there. Lead you and bring you out. And you know what? He can save you. But you've got to want to be led out. You've got to want it. Now something else, Jesus took him by the hand and led him out. And when he got saved, everything became new. Yes, sir. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Listen, I went to Clay Battelle High School when I got saved. And I was a teenager. And when I went back to that school, Michelle, they knew I was saved. I didn't have to tell them. They knew. I changed. I wasn't the boy that I used to be. Thank God, you know what? He got a hold of me. Me and Tink talk about this all the time. It's hard to tell where I'd have been at this morning if Jesus hadn't saved me. I'm telling you this morning, listen to me. I don't care how young you are or how old you are. When you get saved, behold, all things will become new in your life. You may look the same. You may go to the same old house and sleep in the same old bed. You may drive the same old car. I'm going to tell you something. You will be different. You will be different. I'm here to tell you, you know what, Ron? I didn't run around with the same crowd I used to run around with. I didn't run around with the same crowd that I used to run around with when I went back to school. I didn't act the same way that I acted. I didn't do the same things that I did. From that point on, I wanted to serve Jesus. I wanted Him. Behold, all things became new in my life. He brought me out of my Bethsaida. And you know what He did? I was living in. And He started me to teach me His ways. I got into His Word. Listen, I know some people just cringe whenever I say this. But I'm here to tell you this morning. I didn't want to listen to the same stuff I listened to on the radio back then. I didn't grab rock and roll when I turned the radio on. I tried to listen to gospel music. Amen or oh my. I would listen to the gospel singing Jubilee that come on every Sunday, and I would listen to that. I didn't try to pull up everything else in the world. I didn't try to read the books that I used to read and look at the books that I used to look at. I wanted to look at the Bible. I wanted to read what the Bible had for me. I wanted to learn what God's Word had for me to learn. I'm telling you, I'm going to say it to you. I'm going to say it to you in this way, and I've said it here many times before, junk in, junk out. Amen. Junk in, junk out. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, whenever the Holy Spirit comes into you, all things become new. All things. He brought me, the Holy Spirit takes me by the hand daily and teaches me daily. And that's a process. It isn't something that just happened all at once. It's been a process since He saved me. It's called sanctification. Amen? I wasn't sanctified holy the first time that the Lord saved me. I'm sanctified every day that I go. Amen? Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, God saved this old boy one time. And I read His Word and I go back. You know what it tells me? That we are to take up our cross daily and follow Him. So what's that tell me? It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. That's what it tells me. Jesus was always saying, if you trust me, I'll lead you to a better place. Listen to me. Mary, if you went into a blind man's or blind woman's house and rearranged their furniture, what do you think that would go? How do you think that would go? You'd have to have an awful lot of trust, wouldn't you? Jesus grabbed that blind man by the hand, took him out of a familiar setting, and led him out of town. And you know what he did for him? He saved his soul because that man trusted Jesus. Can I tell you this morning? You may not always be able to trust me. I'm a trustful person. I try to do my best to be trustworthy. But I know one you can trust to the uttermost. He'll never let you down. He'll never, ever let you down. Trust Jesus as he leads you. Trust him. You see, the devil blinded the eyes of those people. He's blinding the eyes of this country. He's blinding the eyes of so many sitting in churches today. He's blinding so many that are lost today. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. He's blinded them. And I'm here to tell you this morning, the only thing that will undo that blinded eyes is Jesus Christ. Amen? You must have trust in Jesus to lead you to a better place. He led me, when I was a teenager, to a better place. No, I still lived in my old house, like I said. I still lived there. But it was not the same old house. It was not the same old place. I'm going to tell you a little story. I used to be scared to death to go into that house. I thought that house was demon-possessed and all kind of stuff. I'm here to tell you. After the Lord saved me, I went back in that house and I said a prayer and I was not afraid no more. Wasn't afraid no more. Because you know why? We serve one that has power over that stuff. And I realized that. I realized it. I'm here to tell you this morning, I trusted Jesus and he led me to a better place, Greg. He led me to a better place. And I'm telling you this morning, I don't know where you're at in your life. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I can tell you, he can lead you to a better place. He can do that. Listen, Jesus is telling the spiritually blind, trust him. Trust him. Let me lead you out of Bethsaida. Let me lead you out of this town. Let me lead you out of here. And everything will become brand new in your life. Amen. You can trust him. You know why? Because the devil wants you to stay in religion. I don't preach religion. I don't preach denomination. I don't preach that. I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. If he be lifted up, Mary, he'll do the drawing. All I got to do is make sure that I preach the word of God. He'll do the drawing. He'll do what's needed. I'm here this morning to tell you, listen to me. Listen, you can trust him. You can trust Jesus. The devil wants you to stay comfortable and believe that you're a good person. A good person doesn't save you. A good person doesn't save you. Listen, the devil wants you to stay comfortable in your life. He wants you to go to work and spend time with the family and just go hunting and fishing and all the things. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But guess what's left out? It's Jesus. It's God. If that's left out, he wants you. He wants you to. And you know what people do so many times? It's rinse and repeat. And they do the same thing year after year after year. And the devil's tickled to death with them. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of that. But what I'm saying is, God, first things first. First things first. That's what God wants. Listen, we can get so blinded by life that God is nowhere to be found in our life. And we can be thinking that we're good people. The drug and alcohol addicted, you're battled in your life. You know what? You can feel like you're trapped. The devil can make you think that there's no hope. But can I tell you something? Jesus can grab you by the hands and lead you out of the darkness. He can do that. He can lead you out of town. Lead you out of town. Get you out there. And get you out amongst all the unbelief. And he can save your soul. And he can clean you up. That's the God that we serve. That's why it can be hard to get the lost saved, because they're so comfortable in their little situation. They're comfortable. But if they will let Jesus lead them out, He can save them. Reading the Bible becomes familiar. Praying will become familiar. Going to church becomes familiar. Listen, like I told you, whenever I got saved, my desires changed. Man, I told you this before, I got in Proverbs, and I read Proverbs from front to back when I got saved. Whatever reason, God wanted me to read that, and I read that from back to front. I used to know Proverbs like the back of my hand. But that's what God wanted me to learn. And He has taught me from that point on. And I thank God for an aunt and uncle one time that had a bus route that thought enough of me. You know what? They seen that I was in Bethsaida, Belinda. They seen that. And you know what? They wanted to drag me out of that, lead me out of it. And praise God, I got saved in a Baptist church in Mannington, West Virginia. And I'm telling you, I didn't get saved in the church. I come out of that church, and for those that haven't heard, I come out of that church, and a boy come up to me out in the breezeway, and I got on my knees, and He saved my soul. Jesus saved me, because He thought enough of me to bring me out of Bethsaida. Praise God. Praise God. Going to church becomes familiar. Fellowship with Christians becomes familiar. All the stuff that I didn't want anything to do with before. You know what? It's got me to the point where I can love the unlovable. We've talked about that here this morning, you know? Listen, there's people in this world, if we looked at it through human eyes, they don't deserve anything from us, Ron. They don't deserve any respect. They don't deserve for anything. But you know what? Jesus died for those people just as much as He died for us. I'm here to tell you this morning, you could be the best person in the world, and you can die and go to the same place that one of these horrible people over here you call horrible will be going to. Hell has enlarged itself. Hell has enlarged itself. You can't go back. Listen, when you want to see things differently, you get out of Bethsaida, you get out of it, and you don't go back. You know what? You can't go back to that same pig pen no more. Because you know why? If you go back to that pig pen again, the stench will start getting on you again. We don't want to go back to that. Listen, things that will happen when Christ is leading, things can be unconventional. I can tell you something about a church. You can tell if a church is spiritual or not. It's not because of the singing, that's good. It's not because of the preaching, that's awesome. It's not because of the teaching. I can go on down the line. It's not because of a lot of different things. But can I tell you something this morning? That whenever a church is being led and spirit-filled, or later they'll do the unconventional once in a while. We don't follow programs. You just don't do the same thing. Like I said, rinse, wash, and repeat. Wash, rinse, and repeat. You don't do the same thing every week because God is leading. You let God lead. You let Him do it. I'm not talking about being out of the realm of the Bible. I'm talking about you're in the realm of the Bible, but you do things a different way. How many of you read that scripture and said, Jesus spit on His eyes? I'm not talking about coming up here this morning, let me spit on you, no. I'm not talking about that. But Jesus did the unconventional. He did that. Can I tell you something this morning? Just hold on. You never know what the Lord's leading, how He's leading. And I'm telling you, we've got to mind the Spirit of God. We've got to mind that. I've got to mind it more than I do men. I've got to. I'm telling you, you've got to do that. If you don't, listen, if you don't do it the unconventional way, and it may be a little inconvenient once in a while, but can I tell you something? Unconventional and inconvenient can stir us up once in a while, can it not? Amen. I believe it can. Listen, how can you tell that? Because you know what? A church is being led by the Spirit. Listen, a church is Spirit-led and Spirit-controlled. We'll do unconventional things once in a while. I'm going to praise God this morning. Listen, just bear with me on that. Because I don't know what God's got in store, but I'm telling you, He's been dealing with me about some things, and I think He's wanting to stir me up a little bit. And I hope you're on. I hope you're willing for the ride. I hope you go along for the ride. Praise His name this morning. Anything to see the lost saved. How about you this morning? What would you do to see your lost family saved? What would you do? What would you be willing to put into it to see that lost loved one in your family saved? Folks, the time's drawing near. We don't have to look around much to see what's going on out here in this world to know that, you know what? Jesus could split the eastern sky anytime. He could. I'm not no prophet. I'm not here to tell you that it's tomorrow, but it may be 100 years from now. But if it is 100, it's still closer than what it was whenever He left this world. But I believe the time is growing short. I'm not talking about, listen to me, it's whether or not we're mindful of the Spirit and whether we want to listen to what the Spirit has for us this morning. The point is simply, God may not have you to do something that may seem strange to others. It may not be according to the structure and routine of the church, but God's leading, He wants to lead you. I'm going to talk to you as each individual in here this morning in this church. You know what? You may have never taught before. Maybe God's dealing with you to teach. You may never have stood up and testified ever in a church service, but God may be leading you to testify this morning. You may not have shouted and run these aisles, but can I tell you something? If God's leading you to do that, I am all for you in all that. I'm here to tell you this morning, mind the Spirit of God. If you do that, I'm telling you this church will grow. This church will, now I'm not talking just numbers, I'm talking about spiritually, it will grow. God will lead us out of the Bethsaida that we're in. Sometimes we got to be let out of our comfort zone, outside of it, so Jesus can work. He may be wanting to work in you this morning. I don't know your hearts. He may want you to shout. He may want you to sing. He may want you to teach. He may even want you to preach this morning. I do not know. But can I tell you something? If God is for you, I will be for you. He's wanting to take you to another level in your walk with Him. That's what He's wanting. And trust Him, because if He's leading you, He will take you to the place where you need to go, right where you need to be. He'll do that. And you may not be totally different with somebody else. Listen to me. And getting out of Bethsaida means staying out of Bethsaida. Do you understand that? Verse 26, and He sent him away to his house saying, neither go into this town nor tell it to any in the town. You know what He's saying? I brought you out of that cursed place. How dare you go back to that cursed place? Amen. He brings you out. He brings you out of sin. He doesn't want you to go back to it. He's warning to every one of us. You start desiring to go back to Bethsaida. If you cast your eyes towards that town, you're heading towards trouble. Some Christianity today wants to see how close they can live to the devil's fire and get warmed. And brothers, I'm telling you, you're going to get burnt. You're going to get burnt. But if you let me warn you, you'll just listen to what Jesus said. Let Jesus tell us in John chapter 5. And the story of the man healed at the pool of Bethsaida. And he was healed and wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. And afterwards Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come on thee. I don't have to say a word. That's the words of Jesus. That's the words of Jesus. Neither go into that town nor tell it to anybody in that town. What He's telling you is He's going to lead you out if you want let out. He'll lead you out, but I'm telling you, He doesn't want you going back there. He didn't want you going back there. Because He knows what's going to happen. Belinda, come get a song this morning, please. I don't know anybody's hearts here this morning, but I'll tell you, at this moment, I want every head bowed. I don't do this very often, but the Lord has put upon my heart to do it. I don't know where you stand with God this morning. I want you to be honest. Be honest with the God you serve. Be honest. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Let me ask you something. How many of you here this morning would be honest with me this morning and tell me that, you know what? You need Jesus in your life. I'm not going to call you out. That's not me. That's not it. How many hands are up in here this morning? I see some hands go up this morning. I see them. They need Jesus. I'm here to tell you this morning that right there is why we need to be praying and on our knees praying this morning. How many of you also would say here this morning that, you know what? I was once on fire for God, and now it seems like I don't feel that fire as strong as I used to feel it. Can you raise your hand and tell me that this morning? Listen, there's hands going up for that this morning. Listen to me. I'm here to tell you this morning, God is able. All right, you can open your eyes and open your heads this morning. Raise your heads. I've seen those hands go up. I'm not coming back. I'm not going to embarrass them. That's not what this is about. But I can tell you this morning that this altar right here is open. We get this song this morning. And you know what? You want to come and pray? You come and pray. And there'll be people in this church that will come and pray with you this morning. Pray with you and for you this morning.